How are we doing tonight?
Good. This is going to sound wrong. My fingers still feel a little sticky from the fried chicken.
All right. Okay. You qualified it with fried chicken, so that helps a lot. If you just left it with my fingers still feel sticky, that would have been really bad, Jamian.
Okay. Yeah. Well, at least I saved it there last second.
Just a little bit. Maybe just a little bit. You have fried chicken tonight?
Yeah. So I got fried chicken with you remember the guy that was dressed as Zenitsu at the Halloween party?
Oh, what was his name? Will?
Yeah. So I got dinner with him tonight to catch up, see how he's doing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that dude's cool. He's my favorite guy from the Halloween party so far.
And it had nothing to do with the fact that he was dressed as your favorite character?
No, had nothing to do with that at all. He's just a really cool dude.
Yeah. He was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him, and he was basically telling me that he's been living very frugal, and he needs to like have some more fun. And I'm just like, yeah, I would agree with that. You need to treat yourself a little bit more, man.
It's good. Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those important things to do. I think like life's not worth living if you're not enjoying it at least every now and then, you know? Like there's something to be said about like grind for your goals and stuff, but like you gotta live a little, you know, like treat yourself. That's a thing, yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like one of those things where, hey, you've worked this hard, you've done all the right things, like just give yourself some slack, cut loose, you know, once in a while. Don't go balls to the walls like all the time, but once in a while is good.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I was thinking about this today because I was eating dinner and I thought it was so funny because, you know, like I think we're all gym rats here. And the like, what is it? The stereotype of what gym rats eat is chicken, rice, and veggies, right? And so I was eating that tonight, but like not the way that you think a gym rat would, because I'd gotten Mediterranean food and I had chicken shawarma with like, you know how like it's like on a bed of rice and then you have the Mediterranean salad on the side. I was like, oh, I made chicken, rice, and veggies, but it's like not like the typical gym rat way of eating it. Like, this is actually like a very enjoyable way of eating chicken, rice, and veggies.
People just think that like you just have to have plain chicken, like steamed broccoli and like plain rice, but it's just like, no, we can live a little, dress it up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And like fried chicken is definitely one way to do it. Like I think fried chicken is just like my weakness. I can literally do fried chicken whenever, and if it wasn't so bad for you, I'd probably do it like 5-6 times a week. I'm not even kidding.
Same, honestly.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Damien, this is the first episode where you're coming on with the full intention. You know, we said that we wanted to have you on to kind of sub in when Jackie couldn't come in. How do you feel?
Good. I mean, I'm excited to just be a part of the conversation, and I'm always going to be grateful for you guys even thinking about bringing me on. So, yeah, just happy to be here and just ready to, you know, be a part of this movement.
Movement? You make it sound like we're trying to like start a revolution, dude.
I was the number one fan before I got brought on as a host. Of course I want to see it as a movement.
What are you trying to say there? You want like everyone who's a fan of our podcast to eventually become a host?
I mean, I never had that intention. Maybe it like in my wildest dreams in the back of my mind. Maybe every eyelash wish that I ever did, I was like, oh, please be a host.
Damien had more plans for our podcast than we did.
That's actually really true. I think that when we had our first meeting, like when we decided that we were going to bring Damien on as a host, I think he was the one that was talking the most in that meeting. So, yeah, no, you know what? Don't let your dreams be dreams, guys. You know, Damien's story should be inspiration to everybody that if you set your mind to something and you really want it bad enough, yeah, you know, dreams come true, guys. Dreams come true. One day you can be on the a host on the podcast that you're a big fan of.
I just see Shia LaBeouf instead of Kevin right in front of me instead.
Just do it! Ah! Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, shoot. No, we're gonna transition real quick. Josh, how's your day? How have you been?
I just woke up from a nap, so I'm still kind of groggy, but it's been okay. Work, and then that's basically it. I got home from work, ate dinner and I was on YouTube for a bit and then I passed out and I was like, oh, it's 8 o'clock. I should get up. I totally forgot we were recording today and I was like, oh, maybe I should just sleep more.
Dude, I wanted to sleep early so badly. It was like 5:30 and I was like, I still have like 3 hours before we have to record. Yeah. I was like, I'll take a quick nap. So I took a nap. I only took a nap for 20 minutes, guys. I was like, are you kidding me? So I woke up and I was like, now what?
Mine wasn't intentional. It was just like, I was watching YouTube and then I knocked out and I was like, oh gosh, I'm so tired.
As you always do. The way you always do.
It's the best way to sleep, man. Best way to sleep.
I guess so. No, well, I don't know. You can update our listeners on what you've been up to since, you know. I think I alluded to this. You're a gym rat now.
Unfortunately.
And I should include you're a toxic gym rat now.
No, I'm not toxic. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not toxic.
Damien, give us the truth.
All right. So the last time that Josh and I went to gym, there was a big sign that specifically said no hip thrusts or deadlift in the squat area because there's another designated area for those movements. Mm-hmm. And Josh, A, started judging people who were hip thrusting there. Mm-hmm. But also B, there was a guy who was squatting 225 pounds. So there was like two plates. He was making hella noise. And Josh was like, it's not even that much weight. I don't know why he's making so much noise for. And I was just like, wow, I gotta tell Kevin about this. I am so proud.
Okay, let me defend myself real quick.
Wait. Before you defend yourself, I have another story that I need to share for the listeners.
No.
I'm gonna share this, okay? So Josh was talking with one of the brothers at our church, and this is a brother who just started working out. Like, and he's not like super in shape, and he's also not really doing weight training, but he is doing calisthenics. So he
Josh told me this story. Yeah.
And this is a story worth sharing, right? So this guy's doing calisthenics now, and he's training, and he's not like the biggest guy. He's only 130 some pounds, and so like Josh, you know, he's like talking to Josh about that, and so so Josh goes, oh, like how much do you weigh, dude? And he goes, oh, I weigh 135 pounds, and he goes, that's warm up weight. Our boy called this man warm up weight.
I'm leaving. How'd I leave this dude?
Yeah.
All right, Josh, you want to defend yourself now?
Oh, I just look like a douchebag. No, okay. Yeah, let me defend myself. So the guy with the two plate squatting, right? He's squatting, but it was like one set or one rep, right? And he goes down, he gets back up, which is fine, right? One rep. But then he like runs into the squat rack to rack it. And I was like, was that really necessary? Because it's like, it's not that heavy. You know, I get it if it's like 315 or a very heavy weight, you just go and you kind of like slam it in so it locks in place, right? He has a spotter right behind him too. And so he like kind of goes to he gets up, finishes his squat, and he racks it. But it makes a huge sound. And I'm like, was that really necessary? I don't get why you have to rack it. And I look at the weights because it wasn't just two plates. It was like a plate and then I think it was a 25 and then two 10s. So it makes it look like it's a lot heavier than it really is, you know? So I'm just like, I mean, I guess.
Hey, Josh, you can admit that you're judging now. It's okay. You just have to accept it.
I'm not doing this podcast anymore.
Okay, but I have a question about like that guy specifically. Like, was he big, you know?
Yes,
like,
he was big. He was like about my size. Uh-huh. He was wearing knee sleeves. He was wearing a belt and everything. So I was just like,
oh, this guy was Mr. Accessory, huh?
Yes, he had everything. like Damien and I don't start putting our belts on until three plates, right? But this guy was had a belt on, had knee sleeves on, and like I don't know, maybe he just was having a great time at the gym. But mm-hmm. Damien and I were waiting in line to kind of get onto the squat rack, and the first thing I see is him just like, I saw him get up, like mm-hmm. finishing the set, and he just racked it, and I was like, okay, like whatever.
Yeah. I was going to give this guy a pass if he looked kind of unathletic, but...
If he was like a scrawny guy, I'm like, okay, that's, you know, that's good. But he was like, I think he was bigger than me, thicker than me, so...
Yeah, no, you give this guy a pass if he looks like the brother that you were talking to from church, right?
Wait, that guy's another story. why don't you tell Damien what he said to you, huh? Why are you making me the bad guy?
Josh told me that part and how he got so heated off of that one comment.
Okay,
I wasn't even there when he said it, right? And Kevin told me this while we were drinking coffee, and then I went on for 2 hours. Every like 10 minutes, I was like, "What? What?"
Okay. So I'll share the story. Basically, he's a good friend of mine. I mean, he and I are like pretty close. He considers me to be one of his closest friends. And I would say the same for him, but he can be a little delusional at times. I'll admit this. So like I said, he's not the biggest guy. He's only 130 some pounds. And he just started working out doing calisthenics, and we were getting dinner one time, and he shares with me like what his goal is. And he says, "I want to be able to do my body weight in any exercise." And I'm like, "That's pretty difficult, dude. Like, you have to understand, that's pretty freaking hard." And he goes, no, I think I could do it." And I was like, "No, I don't think you understand how hard that is. Like, you're telling me, like, bicep curl, tricep extension, shoulder press, like, all of this stuff you want to be able to do your body weight in?" And he goes, yeah, I think I could do it." And I was like, "My guy, I can't even do that. If you're saying that you want to be able to do, like, a bicep curl for your body weight, tricep extension your body weight, or shoulder press your body weight, like, you're saying you're trying to be stronger than me." He goes, "Oh, I think if I try hard enough, I could do it." I was like, "Oh my guy, like, I'm sorry."
Okay, so that is better context than what Josh said. Josh told me the way he framed the story to me, he framed it as the guy was saying, "Oh, if I train, I could be just as strong as you."
Whereas, that's basically like, what he said.
I mean, that is
what he said, but it was like in a different context where I thought, like, okay, like in my mind, I was going, there have been people who are like smaller in weight who train powerlifting wise to like definitely lift like 2-3 times like their body weight. Sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that's not possible, but I didn't realize it was like you were saying, Kevin, like bicep curls, tricep extensions. Like freaking, I don't know, pull-ups with weights on your body. That's just like, I don't know, like every single workout. I don't know about that, my guy. That's now I can understand why you said delusional.
Yeah. And like, I love the guy to death. It's just, I do genuinely believe that if people worked out like me, most people could get as strong as me. I don't think that I'm that particularly like exceptional in the gym. I just work really hard and I'm pretty obsessive about it. But I don't know, like if you're not here yet, you're most likely not going to ever, because if you were going to get as strong as me at my age, then you would have found that passion a while ago and you would probably be already on your way to it, you know? So I think that if you're my age or older and you're just starting to work out, it's probably not going to happen, especially just because of age related changes. Like I'm already ahead of you in terms of like the muscle mass and the bone mass density. It's like, in terms of like physiological changes, like I'm ahead of people who are going to start now. So it's almost impossible for people to get to be as strong as me if you're starting now. But if you're like, you know, like there's this kid who I like practice with for kickboxing. He's like 17 years old. I'm pretty sure if he trained the way I do, he could easily be as strong as I am, if not stronger. So that's all that to say, like, you know, I don't think that I'm that crazy. I am proud of myself for the thing, like for how strong I am, but I'm not saying that, like, you're not delusional if you think you can be stronger than me. Just certain people are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just feel like what context too is the person he is, that's what made it more delusional.
Right. Like, I definitely get that.
If he was an athlete, if he was, you know, I don't know how to say stuff without being mean, but yeah, if he was an athlete, like, I'd understand. Okay, maybe, you know? But the fact that he just started working out, and for the time that I've known him my whole life, I don't think he's ever actually been active physically. So it kind of, it was a shocking thing to hear. Like,
yeah. Not done for sure. Yeah, I think, I know he used to do martial arts, but I think like martial arts training is very different from strength training, just no matter what. So like, I just think it's a very different kind of fitness when it comes to martial arts and strength training. Very little of it carries over. So,
yeah. So let me ask you guys this then, just because, well, I think this would, I guess, more so apply to Kevin, but Josh, you may be starting to have these experiences too. When people come up to you and ask you for like advice, like how do you kind of frame your tips as far as like, do you try to frame? Because like, providing an example on my side, I usually try to dumb it down or try to simplify it as much as possible, because the last thing I want to do is like overwhelm somebody with like all the little things you have to keep in mind with weightlifting. But I actually have a friend, Luis, who, when I was training with him, he actually, I kind of forgot that he's actually worked out for quite some time. He's just trying to get back to it. Mm-hmm. So when I showed him like new deadlift mechanics and told him like what my setup was, he was actually able to do that like in an instant. And I was just like, whoa, okay. Versus like, obviously with you, Josh, like I was trying to make sure that we kind of took our time and I was trying to be careful. But that I was giving you, maybe I was like going a little too slow with it as far as like explaining it to you. So I don't know, like, how do you guys kind of try to frame your, like, advice to other people? Because, you know, obviously everyone has their own way of doing it, so it's kind of like, what do you even say?
Josh, you want to go first?
So, it's just, in general, I think try to keep dumbing it down as much as possible, instead of using, like, terms that you would use with people that actually go to the gym is very helpful. Like, for example, with the bracing technique when you squat or deadlift, I didn't understand that for a very long time. And like, we all follow them, but Squat University basically says like, oh, think of yourself as a can. Like if you're a, you know, unopened can with all the pressure, think of it that way. I think that helped me a lot to visualize, because he actually had the can and like stepped on it in the video. Mm-hmm. And so like it helped me understand and visualize that, right? But for me to actually do it, I was like, I don't know how that works. I understand the concept of it, mm-hmm. but I didn't understand what it really meant and what it like how it felt to brace.
Right.
And then he had another video where it's like, oh, put your hand on your hips and then breathe out and you're going to feel that hardness. That's how you brace. I was like, oh, okay. And so when I was actually talking to one of my coworkers about squatting, I was like, oh, make sure you you brace yourself. And they're like, oh, how do you do that? And like the easiest way I can think of it is like, oh, like think about it like as you're pooping and like you're putting pressure in your stomach to push out. And then they looked at me all weird. And I was like, wait, did I do this wrong? But then I was like, no, if you put your hand there and you put, you know, like you put the pressure there. And I saw them do it and they're like, I saw like the twinkle in their eye of like, oh, I get it now. I was like, oh, yes, yes, pooping analogy.
Okay. I think the funny thing about that analogy is also the fact that you use it with women. Like,
what am I supposed to do, man?
It's just a very, like, I don't know. It's one of those topics you don't really talk about, like, you know?
It's the easiest way for someone to understand how to do it. So I was just like,
yeah, no, for sure. I get that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think when people ask me for advice, it's typically not mechanical. It's more like specifically like, oh, like, hey, like you have really strong grip. Like, how'd you get your grip so strong? Or it'll be like, hey, like you squat a lot of weight. How did you get your squat to be this high? It'll be specific things about like strength rather than it'll be about like anything mechanically. Cause no one's ever looking at me and thinking like, oh, this guy has really good form. Right. Like it's not the point of emphasis for a lot of people. They just see like a pure strength thing and they're like, okay, how can I get that like you? And the funny thing is I don't have big tips for it. Like I think I shared with you guys last week where I was like, yeah, I was deadlifting last week and this guy came up to me and he was like, hey, like you grip the bar so like tightly, like how'd you get your grip so strong? I was like, dude, I don't do anything special for it. Like I genuinely couldn't think of anything. I was like, I just hold it as tight as I can. And I try to think of like certain cues. Like for example, one thing, like when I'm thinking about like holding the bar is one thing that I try to be conscious about is like really honing on my pinky and my ring finger, actually like making sure that part of it's tight. I think that's the part where I tend to like not hold the bar as tightly. And because of that, I think like the bar starts to slip out. So that's like a big point of emphasis for me. But I think like one thing I do is also like I do a lot of dead hangs because I have a pull-up bar at my house. So I'll just hang off the pull-up bar and like just hold it for as long as I can. And then that'll like kind of passively help my grip, you know? So like I just kind of pointed out that's I point out those things, like small things I do that accumulate over time. And then when people ask me for advice, it's like a lot of people ask me advice for like structuring, like how to like program. Like what are you doing? Like how's your workout selection? Like why are you choosing these workouts? And things like that. So I think I get a lot of tips on like more like macro stuff than it is like technique. So yeah, like I had a guy who like I hadn't seen him in like maybe 5 years, and then we were catching up randomly. And he's like, dude, you got freaking yoked. Like, how'd you do it? I was like, oh, I have like a whole program. If you want me to send it to you, like I'll just show it to you. And then he was like, oh yeah, sure. So I just sent him the whole program, and then I explained everything to him, like sent him videos when he was confused on a specific workout, and he said he started doing it. Same thing with like Peter. Like Peter asked me, like, hey, like, can you write a program for me? Like people typically when they're asking me for help, they're asking me to write them programs rather than like helping them with form or anything.
I see. Usually my answer for those questions is, oh, I have a trainer.
Helps a lot.
Shout out Chosen One on Instagram, Chosen One's powerlifting squad. But no, yeah, like I actually do get those questions quite a bit as well. I just, my default answer is I have a trainer. He does it for me. I am a power lifter. So the main goal of my workout is get these three lifts in. And then based off of video reviews, he'll give me accessory workouts to work on either like areas that need improvement or areas that he thinks I can strengthen to take myself to the next level.
Right. And then that's like really big because I don't have that. You know, I train on my own and like I have to structure everything on my own.
Yeah.
And I think that really holds me back. So like, that's why I really enjoy working out with you guys a lot, because I get that like extra, like, oh, like this is important for certain kinds of like, you get certain benefits out of doing different workouts. Right.
Yeah. So
that's not to say like, just change up your workouts every week and like, you'll get more benefit out of it. Like if anything, you're going to hurt your training a lot more by changing your workouts every week. But it is good every now and then to see what other people are doing in order to learn from other people, I think. And I think when I decided I wanted to start powerlifting, you know, one thing I did was I just hit you up and I was like, hey, like, what do you do? Help me out here. And then you gave me a lot of tips. So yeah, I think it's huge. Like, I think people got to know, like, if you want to ask somebody for advice, understand like what their training style is first. Like that's the big thing. Cause you got to know.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. Like there'll be times where, like I asked them, what is your fitness journey? If your fitness journey is calisthenics, then it's very limited on what I could be able to tell you that you should try out and what you shouldn't. Versus if like, you know, weightlifting and bodybuilding are like also two entirely different workout methodologies. So people need to ask that first and foremost before they just kind of, but I think it's also one of those things where people who don't have an idea, they just try to get anything and everything.
Right,
like all information, and you just try to help out as best you can.
Mm-hmm. And I think one big thing is like the majority of people they don't care about strength goals. Then if you talk to someone like the average individual, and they're asking you for training advice, most of the time what they want is aesthetics. And I think that's one thing that I've noticed is the majority of people who want to work out, they don't want to work out for necessarily health benefits or even like pure strength goals. Or like performance goals, I guess is the best way to put it. Like those are like the three big things. There's health goals, performance goals, and then aesthetic goals. And I think the majority of people are leaning into the aesthetic goals because they just want to look good. And then there's also the people who want to feel good, which is the health goals. And then performance goals is like typically like you're a very specific person if you're training for a performance goal. But yeah, I think it's, you got to identify like what your goal is, and then you can, from there, you should be able to narrow down like who you want to talk to and like what kind of advice you're looking for. That'll help narrow down your questions a lot too. And that'll help you save time, and that will help save the person you're talking to a lot of time too. Because if you don't know your goal, how is this person supposed to help you?
So. Yeah. And at the same time, it's like, you shouldn't try to reinvent the wheel. Like would say, I very proudly say that I like follow my trainer's plan. And you know, it works for a reason, but not to say that every trainer is great out there. Like obviously do your research and see who's accredited and who's not. Mm-hmm. Like when I saw that my powerlifting coach like won worlds at his weight class, I'm like, okay, he's definitely qualified. He definitely knows what he's doing. So I want to follow in his footsteps. That way I could try to better myself.
Right.
Don't follow people blindly. Don't have like a blind leading the blind situation. But I definitely say, like, if people don't know what they want to do fitness wise, like, have someone like a coach or a trainer try to guide you to like the next step of your journey and event. And it doesn't need to be like a forever thing. Like, if you just want to follow them to a certain point to where you think you're comfortable doing it yourself, then by all means, have that be like something that you have in mind. Mm-hmm. I just happened to be with my coach for 3 years, coming up to four at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think one big thing that you touched on that, like, I'd like to kind of like go a little bit more into is, like, it doesn't have to be for everything, right? Like, pick an activity, and if you don't like it, like, you can move on to something else. So, like, for example, like, I thought rock climbing was going to be a big thing for me when I first started doing it in college. I did it for like a month, and then I was like, yeah, no thanks, this isn't for me anymore. And same with like basketball. Like, when I first started playing basketball because of Josh, like, I thought this is gonna be a forever thing for me, and like, I still enjoy playing every now and then, but it's like not nearly to the same passion, right? And like, right now I box and I kickbox. Like, this is probably like a next couple of years type of thing for me. Like, I won't do this forever either, just because honestly it's fun, but I don't like getting hit in the head so much. So there's that. And then I tried jiu-jitsu for a while, and that was fun, but my joints were always screaming at me. So that's just, you know, I think it's big to always try new things and see like what you end up like really enjoying and what you want to stick with. And so for me, I think if there's going to be two things that I will say that confidently I will stick with for the rest of my life, it's lifting weights and volleyball. Like, I will always, if anyone asks me to play volleyball, I will always say, like, give me a time and a place, I'm there. And same with like lifting weights. Like, I'm just going to do this forever, because like when the heavy weights go up and down, the sad voices in my head stop talking to me. So yeah,
I just love that we all send each other like gym bro memes now. Just like, and it's not, and sometimes it's not even like the toxic masculinity stuff. It's the, hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm proud of you today. Like, I really enjoy those.
Whenever I get those, whenever I send it to you guys, like, I like tear up a little bit, you know? I'm proud too. So, yeah.
Josh, do you think you'd ever get back to basketball? Like, because obviously with the weightlifting, you're going to be losing more weight and you're going to be getting more fit. Do you think that since basketball was such a big part of your life that you'd be able to reincorporate it into your schedule?
Wait, before you answer that, first, can you share with our listeners how much weight have you lost from beginning your weightlifting journey?
I've lost 30-ish pounds so far.
Mm-hmm. And how much of that was just lifting and how much of it was dieting?
The first 20 pounds, first 15 pounds was more dieting, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. So when I first started, I was like, hey, I'm going to diet while I work out. And so I just kind of what you said earlier, like the chicken and broccoli. That's kind of what I did the whole time.
Yeah. And then tell them how bad it was.
I was like hungry 24/7. I was like, why am I always hungry, man?
And why were you always hungry, Josh?
Cause Kevin said I was starving myself and not eating.
Why did I tell you that? Why did I tell you that? Tell them how many calories you were eating.
Okay, so Kevin goes, how many calories do you think you're eating per day? And I was like, I don't know. I wasn't like counting. I wasn't like weighing my stuff, but I knew the portion that I was eating. So I kind of roughly estimated it by looking up the calorie counts. And it was coming up to like, I think 12 to 1300 a day. And then Kevin yelled at me. He's like, you're not dieting. That's starving. He's like, that's why you're hungry all the time. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, but the first, I think that was like the first month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin's like, yeah, you should up your calories to like 18 to 2000. And so
minimum.
So I was like trying to keep that, but then I just love food so much, I just start eating normally again.
Mm-hmm.
But then I hit a plateau at 3 months. I wasn't losing any weight. I was getting stronger for sure, but I wasn't losing my body weight. And then, like, I think month four, month four, it just dropped. Like, I just went on the scale and I was like, what the hell is this? And like I said, I wasn't actively dieting at all. I was just, I mean, I was trying to make sure that generally I'm eating around 18 to 2000, but most of the times it went to like 2100 mm-hmm. a day. But I was just trying my best to kind of watch what I eat, make sure like, oh, I'm not eating like McDonald's or fast food every single day or, you know, or like stuff like that. But generally I was trying to watch what I eat, but not like strictly like, oh, I'm only going to eat chicken, broccoli and rice or, you know, stuff like that. So yeah. And then I'm at like, I'm fluctuating between 25 to 30 pounds loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week I shocked myself because I weighed myself and I was back to losing only 20 pounds. And I was like, oh crap. But then I also think I was just bloated that one day because I went on the scale like yesterday, I think. I think I texted you yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went back on the scale and it was back down again. So I was like, oh, it was whatever.
Yeah. And like weight changes are totally normal, right? Like you were saying, like you're between like 25 to 30 pounds in like net loss.
Yeah.
And like it's the same. Like for me, like I'll wake up in the morning, I'll be like 167. By the end of the day, I'm like 171. So yeah. Like it's like a it's a daily. If you just kind of like your weight fluctuates throughout the day anyway. So
yeah, I mean, I did weigh myself at night, so maybe it's different because I had the whole day of food and whatever and whatnot. But then right. I usually weigh myself in the morning, and so when I did, it was back at kind of my the range that I was being I've been staying at.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely like weight wise is 30 pounds, but a lot of my clothes fit a lot better or they're a lot bigger on me now. So it's I can definitely tell, oh, like it's what I'm doing at the gym is actually working. And so
well, it not just showed up in your clothes or just like that. Remember your doctor's visit?
Yeah.
So even the doctor's going like, dude, keep going. You're doing well.
So like, I guess to put that in detail, I had high cholesterol. And I was prescribed cholesterol medication, but I wasn't taking it. And so when I got my test results recently, I went like a month ago, my numbers dropped like crazy. And then they're like, oh, are you taking the medication? And I looked at her and I was like, not really. She's like, so you're telling me your numbers dropped from you not taking medication? I was like, yeah. And she's like, okay, let's just not take the medication. And so she's like, yeah, you don't have to take that anymore, but I'll still prescribe it to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it works, it works, right? So that's the big thing.
Yeah.
So here's a question I want to pose to you, Josh. If someone came up to you, you know, and they like, you know, said like, hey, like you lost so much weight. Like, what'd you do and how can I do it too? What would you say to them?
Do I know this person or am I just like, they're just a random person?
I'd say you have to know this person because they have to have known that you lost that weight, right? So
I think it depends on the person. If it's like a close friend or someone that I'm comfortable with, I'll just be straight up and be like, you just got to do it. You can't be lazy. Stop making excuses for yourself. And I'm not trying to be mean about it, but that's basically what I had to do. I had to stop making excuses saying, oh, I'm tired. Because like that was my main excuse. After work, I don't want to do anything. I'm tired. I want to eat dinner. I want to watch TV. Play video games and chill. Mm-hmm. That was my mentality for a very long time. And that's just became a habit, right? And so how I changed it was just going to the gym. And I think it helps when you have friends that are gym rats or just like people that really care about their life and like, you know, and their physical journey or like physical health journey. Mm-hmm. It helps a lot, right? Because you know your friends will be there or, you know, or like, hey, they'll always remind you. And like we said, we send memes to each other all the time, but it's also kind of a reminder, right? And so my biggest thing was I would say is just you just got to stop being lazy. Stop making excuses for yourself because that's what you're just hurting yourself by saying, oh, I'm just too tired. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are times where I'm really tired and I don't want to go to the gym, right? That's normal. That's natural.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's an everyday, I'm tired every single day and make an excuse every single day, then that's just an unhealthy lifestyle. And that's something you just got to change. And I think just starting for me, it's the hardest part was just getting to the gym. When I got to the gym, I would put my work in, right? Mm-hmm. But getting to the gym is the hardest part. That, what, 5 miles from my house or like 2 miles from my house. Mm-hmm. Just driving there and actually getting there is the hardest part.
And that's actually pretty normal, I would say, for a lot of people. Like, I know that Kayla, for example, she mentally has a hard time getting out of the house sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, there may be days that she's battling anxiety. There may be days that she is, you know, a little bit more upset about something or distracted. And it's like, kind of like, well, why would I want to take the effort to actually go somewhere to work out with strangers or people that I don't know? For some people, like Kevin and I, who've done it for so long, it's like, it's kind of like a, for us, it's like a relief to get there. But I think it's more common for a lot of people to have anxiety, to leave the house and try to make the effort to go there. But Kayla has the same feeling that you do, Josh, where as soon as she gets to the gym, or as soon as she works out, or for example, like goes to yoga or takes Mason on a walk, afterwards she's like, I'm really glad I did that. I feel a lot better now. And it's just, you know, such, that is a really difficult obstacle to kind of get through. So, yeah. Not trying to minimize how you're feeling or what your experience is, just more so just trying to say it's more common than you think, I think, mm-hmm. how it feel.
No, yeah. And I think, like Josh, you touched on this when you were saying, like, the hardest part is getting to the gym, right? Mm-hmm. And like, you'll make excuses all you like all the live long day. If you make it home before you get to the gym, you're gonna make excuses as to like why, like, oh, like, I'm too tired, like it's okay, like it's just one day, like I'll skip it. Okay. But for me, like, I noticed that in myself too. And so what I started doing was, once I started working, I was like, okay, like I bring my gym clothes with me to work so that I just change as soon as I finish and I go straight to the gym. And I'm like, going home first is not an option. It doesn't matter if I'm hungry, it doesn't matter if I'm tired. I don't care. It's gym first, then I can go home, eat, and do whatever. Like, you put your work in, then you earn like the rest, right? For me, like, so
yeah. I mean, there are times, because Davey and I work out, but we work out at 7, right? Mm-hmm. And then I get 2 hours or an hour. I get an hour because traffic is horrible, but mm-hmm. I get an hour and I lay in bed and I'm just like, I really do not want to go, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I fall asleep and then Davey texts me and he goes, I'm on my way. I'm like, damn it. And then I end up going. But like I said, like when you have friends that are there and committed and that are pushing you, that's what helps the most.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so funny that is going on behind the scenes. Because from my end, I'm just like, I gotta get to the gym because Josh wants to get there. He's like, I'm like, he always gets there before I do. I gotta get there.
No, like I would say 80% of the time, I'm in bed on my phone after I ate. Right, I'm just laying there, and then I'm on my way. Okay.
It's like, never realized that you just have this internal dialogue going on, where it's like the pre-workout's hitting me. I am in my car. I'm just like,
oh my god!
I'm the total opposite. I'm like, I'm
yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I have to go to the gym, and then when I get to the parking lot, that's when I do my pre-workout, and so that's when it kicks on for me. But then it's a struggle. But like I said, I think. I guess the two main points I would say is find someone that will go with you consistently. Mm-hmm. And the other one is stop making excuses for yourself. I think that's right. The main thing. I think right. Finding the person or friend that will go with you is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. That will help you like stay accountable and actually help you go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's crazy because, like, you know, when I was in school, like, we learned about all this stuff about, like, exercise psychology. Like, what gets people to work out and what gets them to stay. And there's like a bunch of like different factors about it, like time being one, like energy being another, and like social support is a huge one too. Like, do the family, friends, and all these people like around you, do they support and live in a way that like is synonymous or not, maybe not synonymous, but like, do they live in a way that actually like encourages these behaviors out of you? And so it's very interesting because for a long time, I always thought that it was people want to make excuses and people say like, oh, I don't have time because it's a priority issue. That's what I took away from those classes was it's a priority issue because if you cared about it, if you knew, knowledge was another thing, education. And that was like a really big thing to me that I thought was like, if people just understood, like if people knew how important it was for your health, people knew the different like things that like the dangers that you commit to your health if you're not living physically active lifestyles, if you just knew more about how to like to do your workouts, if you knew what workouts were good for you, like all these things, if people just knew more, I felt that that was the most important part in getting people into the gym and getting to stay there. But the older I get and the more I hear stories, like Josh's story, for example, doesn't matter how much they know. And you could teach them as much as you want. You can tell them everything there is to know about program structure, about like what exercises are good for them, different training methods. But if they don't have the support in their lives to actually like make it a thing for themselves, most people are going to fall off. Because most people, unfortunately, aren't built mentally in a way where like they want to put themselves through pain 4 to 5 times a week without people encouraging them to do it. Like it sounds really like obvious when you put it that way, right? Like, yeah, most people want to avoid pain in their lives. But yeah, like it's crazy to me. Like, yeah, like social support's such a huge thing. And once I kind of made that switch in my mind of like, oh, it's not that people lack knowledge or people don't have their priorities straight. It's just that people want to be encouraged and to know that like, you know, they're doing something good. It really changed like how I interact with people in the gym, which is now it's like, it doesn't matter what you want to do. Just be active and find a way to stay active. Like people are always like saying like, oh, like how, like, should I like lift as much as you? It's like, no, you probably shouldn't, honestly, because I lift probably too much for my own good. I probably am too active, if anything, because there are days when I work out 2 or 3 times a week or 2 or 3 times in a single day. So it's not everyone can do that, right? Like not everyone's bodies can handle that. Even my body can't handle that over a long period of time. And so you don't have to be as active as me. Just find something that you like to do and stick to it, which is why, like, if you love rock climbing and that's the only thing you want to do, do it. Like there's nothing wrong with that, you know, and just find a community of people who will stick with you and like encourage you to keep doing that. So that's the big thing.
Going back to what Kevin said about lifting too much for my own good, I would like to choose the category, what is a humble flex?
I mean, I'm just saying, you don't get 265 bench by lifting casually, so.
But I would agree with what you're saying as far as just, I think there will always be those toxic people who are just going to be in the gym and make everyone else's experience miserable. But I think what I've noticed is now more than ever, people are being super supportive in the gym of different workout styles, like different methodologies, encouraging as far as different statuses. Mm-hmm. Like when I see someone who's obviously like overweight in the gym, you just kind of think about what it takes for them to get there. Like them knowing that people are going to judge them or that they're going to have like a certain impression of them in their head. But the first thing I think of is like, they're on their first step of their journey or they're on their journey trying to make themselves better. And like, you know, you just got to, you got to root for those people. Mm-hmm. or others who obviously don't know what they're doing, because you'll see them doing a workout like a certain way. And instead of like trying to, I don't know, like, I think when I see the like meme videos of people recording going like, what is this person doing? Like, mm-hmm. Part of me obviously laughs at first, but the other part says like, why would you secretly record them instead of trying to like help them out or something like that?
Right.
Like, cause like at the end of the day, like we're all just human beings, just kind of like tripping, getting up, moving along, trying to figure things out and just, you know, trying to figure out what works best for us. So, I think now more than ever, anyone you bump into is going to be like, yeah, bro, keep going. You're doing great. Maybe fix this a little bit, but other than that, keep going.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I think one thing I'd like to touch on, though, is I will always judge CrossFit people, no matter what. I think it's just ingrained in me. Like, I've come to accept that, like, there's a place for it, and the research does show that you're not likely to injure yourself more at CrossFit if with proper safety measures in place. But you know, with any exercise methodology, you have an increased risk of injury no matter what. Powerlifting is dangerous. Like bodybuilding is dangerous. Olympic weightlifting is dangerous. It's all dangerous. And when you really like break it down to like what it is, freaking fighting is dangerous. Like, you know, but I still put myself through that. So it's in terms of like it's injury risk. It's like, whatever. Like if you get joy out of it, you know, continue doing it. I just can't help but like, what the hell are those CrossFit pull-ups? You know what I mean? I can't get over it. I just can't.
Yeah. But I think kind of going back to what you're saying, like whatever gets you to be active, mm-hmm. it's important, right? Right. And I think the thing that helps people do CrossFit is the community. Mm-hmm. It's basically a cult, right? Like, in a way, we joke around about it, but the community is what people stay for. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's huge. And I think it's changing now because social media too, from what I've seen, is like so many people are posting videos about working out and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I think the it's changing in the gym, right? People are trying to be more helpful, more supportive, mm-hmm. but the stereotypes of usually going to the gym and the reason why gyms like Planet Fitness and like all these other small small gyms that are opening up with the no intimidation factor is because of the stereotypes that gyms made, right? Mm-hmm. Like the meatheads and the grunters and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think going back, like just CrossFit's community is what gets people to come and what gets people to stay and keep doing what they're doing.
Right.
And so, yeah, like the pull-ups are weird, right? But hey, they're doing them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I think that's what the good thing about CrossFit is the community. And I know there's a bunch of guys at our church that did CrossFit for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Or like when the fad was huge,
mm-hmm.
They were going and they all got pretty strong and they all leaned out too. So they were doing something, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. That's why I say, like, you know, if you're going to do CrossFit and it makes you happy, do it. It's just, I will always make fun of CrossFit no matter what. That's just a personal thing. And I think, yes, gym culture has lost a lot of its toxicity in recent years, but this is something that I will always keep as a toxic behavior for myself. I'm sorry. I will let go of most of my toxic mindsets. If you want to wear gloves to the gym, wear them. I won't make fun of you. If you want a sumo deadlift, go ahead. I won't make fun of you. But if you're a CrossFitter, I'm sorry. I will always make fun of you. But I also support you, so...
Kevin, weren't you the one doing sumo in this group?
I tried for a little bit. I did try for a little bit. Yeah. No. On that note, just be nice, be humble, be respectful to people, and realize that the majority of people aren't going to be toxic in the gym. I think, you know, we have these stories of people who kind of leave a bad taste in our mouth, but think about how many people there are actually in the gym. And how many times you have those stories, because I have this story like maybe once a month, if that, of like someone being kind of like a punk in the gym. So I think it's just one of those things we have to remember. Like the majority of people that we run into in the gym, they're more concerned with their own workouts than they are about what we're doing. Like I think there's been a lot of workouts where like I've almost decapitated myself bench pressing and nobody has come to help me. So I think it's okay. Like no one's really that concerned with what we're doing in the gym. Most of the time people are there to work on themselves. And I think that's the attitude that we should all have is, you know, you're there to work on yourself. You're there to grow. So don't be too caught up in like your own hype. And also don't be too concerned. Like we're all here to help each other. We're all here to support each other. I will always be here to help and support people in the gym. So yeah, if I see someone about to decapitate themselves, I try and help them.
So that's how you got your bench so strong. You've almost lost your life a couple times.
Yeah.
You've trained yourself literally almost to death.
Hey, when you think that every time you get underneath the bar for a bench press, it might be your last rep. Yeah, you're like, you're going to push a little stronger, okay? But yeah, so this was a lot of fun. It's a great episode to come back to. At least, you know, I think that every time the three of us do a episode together, we end up talking about working out in the gym, which is hilarious to think about. And I hope it doesn't happen like this every time, but this was fun. I think, you know, we've had a lot of updates in terms of like our fitness journeys, since the last time we all spoke like this. So I think it's great to, you know, put it to recording. I think it's hilarious because, and I'm just going to say this as like so a little peek behind the curtain for our listeners. We had no intentions of talking about this tonight. We actually meant to talk about something else, and we will talk about it eventually. But just kind of, I think, in the flow of the moment, we got kind of caught up into it. So, but thanks for listening. This is fun. And if either of you have any last words to say, now's the time.
I just think it's funny because we talked about how, I mean, we started just a conversation, right? We didn't even do an intro.
Oh, we did it.
Yeah, we didn't. We just started talking right off the bat.
Hi, welcome to Jump Friends Up.
To the gym. Talk. Oh, this is so funny. I was also thinking the same thing. I was like, are we just not doing the intro?
No, so I thought about it at like 10 minutes in. I was like, this is a very long intro. And I was like, this is not an intro. This is an intro.
Hi, welcome to Just Friend Zone. My name is Kevin.
And I'm Damien.
I'm Josh.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. This has been an episode where, you know, we finally bring on Damien as a full-time host. And yeah, we're gonna hopefully have a lot more fun conversations, a lot more fun stories to share. But until then, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.